Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug. Here we have the Limo Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Listening to this podcast? Smart move. Being financially savvy? Smart move. Another smart move? Having State Farm help you create a competitive price when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling. Just another way to save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Your team, adjective, used to describe an individual whose spirit is unyielding, unconstrained, one who navigates life on their own terms, effortlessly. They do not always show up on time, but when they arrive, you notice an individual confident in their contradictions. They know the rules, but behave as if they do not exist. New team, the new fragrance by Miu Miu, defined by you.
Have that dump button ready, because I honestly have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth.
Get ready for takeoff.
There's no way that I'm tapping out now.
You're listening to Unkillable.
If you didn't kill us last night, we are unkillable.
Hosted by Brandon Tierney.
What's happening, everybody? Episode number 39 of Unkillable. Welcome back to Hell. Welcome back to Perpetual Misery. All right. So, man, all right. Here's, you know, there. At least I was willing to give Justin Fields a chance. You know, young, mid-20s, good athlete. Holy shit, he's terrible. Wow. Justin Fields is just straight up ass as a thrower of the football. He stinks. And they've got zero faith in him. So, now you can't win this way. He holds the ball. These are things that you know. This is what the broadcasters say. This is what you see. You don't have to be a football savant to know that he doesn't have it, man. And I wanted to give him a real chance. And I've got a lot of respect for his competitiveness and his athleticism and all those things. But he is just not a pure reader of the football field, nor is he a pure thrower of the ball, and that is generally not good when your position is quarterback. So, I mean, I'm watching this game, right? Like, it's funny, I never get to sleep in, ever. You know, there's always early games, and whether it's soccer for my daughter, football for my son, fall baseball, there's always something. And we had nothing today, right? We had a big party Friday night. Wow, it was awesome. In Manhattan, a 50th birthday party. It was the absolute best party I've ever been to. So what I'm saying is it was a bit of a late night, but because we had a lot yesterday morning, neither my wife nor I could sleep in. I didn't get a lot of sleep Friday night. I was so uninterested in this game that I set my alarm. Now, I never get to sleep in, as I said. I set my alarm for 10 o'clock this morning. Now, of course, I recorded the Jets game on the NFL Network, just in the event that I was able to sleep in. Spoiler, I wasn't, not with a 9 and 10 year old, but like if that miracle would have occurred, Like, I wasn't even motivated to wake up and watch the Jets. Can you imagine that, man? I mean, think about being a football fan, and it's Sunday, and it's still early-ish, almost mid-October, and your team is playing, and you really don't give a shit. You know, you really just don't care, you know? Wow. So, of course, I woke up early. My daughter, who's 9, made eggs. They were actually pretty good. Had a cup of coffee, watched the game, as always, like this. Yeah, wow, interesting. Wow, amazing. Wow. Well, this is so much fun. The Jets had 32 yards of offense in the first half. They had 32 fucking yards. 32. They had 1 yard, what was it, with, I want to say, was it 4 minutes to go? Yeah. With 3 minutes and 23 seconds to go. In the second half, the Jets didn't have a single first down. They had 1 yard of offense. What? Oh, my God. And then, wow, it just sounded like Beningo there. Oh, my God. And, you know, from Denver's perspective, who was a good team. I mean, they looked horrendous today. And the Jets definitely did some better things on defense and getting after the ground. You see the difference with Jermaine Johnson out there, who had a nice sack late. Of course, the Jets had no timeouts left. How in the world, as I jump around, how can you get to the 240 mark of a one-possession game and have no timeouts? How is that possible? Well, it's possible because one of the things that the Jets did, and I just didn't understand this. All right, let's see. So I got to backtrack some of these notes here. All right, so it's 10-9 Denver, 5 minutes to go, 0-2, pass interference, holding. That was when they threw two flags on Denver. They declined the interference. Jets did, obviously. They take the holding. It's in the end zone. You get the 2 points. It's a safety, 11-10 Jets. Where was the sequence where the Jets called the was that the page before? The Jets called the timeout. They called the timeout. It was on the field run. They call the timeout, and they try to determine what they're going to do. And after the timeout, they punt. Oh, God. God almighty, I can't stand watching this team. You know, really, just – yeah, here it is. So, 4th-and-1, 10 minutes and 23 seconds to go, fourth quarter. And it was a pretty good run. And listen, I understand if you're going to type it in the comment section, whatever – I understand that there's a point where, all right, you're not sure about the spot. You know, you want maybe an extra minute or so to, or whatever, to look it over. Did they mismanage the spot? But you can't have no, not that it would have mattered. Jets wouldn't have won the game. But to have no timeouts with 2 minutes and then to go and punt. It's not like you called the timeout to look at the spot, which they did, and then decide, well, maybe we'll go for it. And, you know, and then they punt the ball. I mean, it just feeble, and it's just so mindless. 13-11. Let me ask you a question here. Now, before I rail for a moment on the I can't stand this international series. I absolutely detest it. But before I even get to the international series for a moment, like in totality, in encompassing the entire NFL, let me ask you a question here. If you are the NFL and you are trying to grow the game of football, why the hell would you send the Jets out there? Send some good teams. And then you got these doofuses in the stands. Like, I saw a Mark Sanchez jersey. The camera got away from that quick. You know, you see jerseys of teams that aren't even on the field. It's just, I can't stand it. It really does bother me. Like, you know, this isn't me just, you know, I don't even know if I will, launching into a possible rant here. Because I've said this for years about the NFL. And this inherently bothers me. And who sticks up for you? I will. And I do. And I always have. This goes back years, whether it's, you know, with Tiki doing national, you know, it's come up a few times with me and Sal. Like, I can't stand the concept of taking one home game. Now, the Jets are atrocious. The Jets are going nowhere, right? And more on big picture in a moment on the Jets. But to take a home game, like imagine if the Jets actually were pretty competitive this year. You know, and the NFL didn't know that they'd be 0-5 coming into this game. We thought, I thought, not everybody, not, I'm one of the idiots who did, you know, the defense, Aaron Glenn's energy, very run heavy. And I thought what would be a run dominant, like I thought the Jets would run the shit out of it this year. And they did early. So I didn't think they'd be 0-5, you know, maybe two wins, maybe clip the Steelers, maybe beat Dallas, like all the things that of course they didn't do. I didn't think they'd beat the Bills, but like to send the Jets there and well, I'm kind of mixing things here because it's the concept of the international games, which I can't stand, because you're taking something that's so sacred. So many people, right, revolve their weekend around 8 home games. And you are taking it and you are dumping it in the middle of England. And I know the fan base has grown out there, you know, whether it's the Jaguars, whatever. I'm not saying they don't know the rules or have a love for football. I get it. I get it. And I understand that it's all about, you know, money. About, again, globalizing the game and getting more corporate dollars and just expanding that imprint and that footprint, both, you know, whether it's TV, whether it's digitally. I understand why they do this, but think about what they do to you, the football fan, as they just, you know, stick more money in their pockets. You know, there's some, like, they've taken home games away from the fucking Packers. Think about that. MetLife is a shithole. The ambiance is zero. The team, at least, you know, now you see the Giants getting better, which is great for the Giant fan and Jackson Dart and all that renewed energy. But, well, of course, one of the tenants is absolutely lifeless. But I don't just think about the Jets. I don't think about it selfishly. I think about the big picture domestically, you know, here. All the football fans that have been going to these games and buying the jerseys, you know, and spending money on parking and beer and all the other things, right, that we do as American football fans. And, you know, they just they take our game, you know, and not to sound – overly territorial, but you know, that's what the preseason's for, you know. And if you want to do this in the NBA where there's 82 games and 41 home, if you want to do it in the NHL where there's 82 games and 41 home, if you want to do this for baseball where there's 162 and 81 home, I mean, go for it. That's different. And you know, even like when the Yankees went to London years ago, I don't know, whatever it was, 5-6 years ago. I forget the exact year now. And they played the Red Sox. Who knows? Maybe it was more recent. And the Mets won. They played the Phillies. All right. I don't even love that because I understand the end result. And once you start to do that, you'll do it more and more and more and more. And, you know, we'll just be down this rabbit hole of, yep, let's take what we've done so well to cultivate and slowly will be taken away from you. That's what's happening. You know, like the one game, all right, cool concept. Wow, the NFL's in London going back however many years ago. But now it's just a constant stream. There's 3, 4, 5 games. There's games in Brazil. There's games in Germany. What the fuck are we doing? What are we doing here? Right, so that's just the big picture with the NFL. I just fundamentally oppose it. And it has nothing to do, you know, with our friends over there. I don't mean it like that. This is not some political statement. This is a football statement. Honestly, there's 8 home games. You know, every game, unlike baseball and even to a lesser, you know, with the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks could lose a game in January against some shit team, you know, and it won't matter as much because there's just so many games. Football, every week is like a season. Every week is like an individual year. So they take it from you guys, and nobody stay, or fewer people stand up for you. So I will continue to do that because it bothers me, right? So that's the big picture with the NFL. From more of a comical picture, I'm going to say what I said before. Why the fuck would you send the Jets over there? You try to grow the game, or are you trying to get people to say, "Oh, I don't want to watch this"? Because that's what you have to be doing when people watch the Jets over there. I don't even want to watch it over here. You know, and I'll tell you what, if you're going to lean into Europe, which is obviously an amazing backdrop for soccer and, you know, probably at this point, the global sport encompassing everything. Well, if you're going to go that far with the NFL International Series, why don't you adopt a few rules from soccer, you know, and apply it here? And here's a good one. If you are that bad, you know how they can, and I know nothing about soccer, how you can relegate teams, you know, you don't do well, you get relegated to a lesser division, make less money, and you got to earn your way back. Well, how about we relegate the Jets? How and not where they're going to be in a different league or a different division, because that's not going to happen. But how about this as common ground? Little middle of the road agreement. When you're this bad, how about we do everybody a favor and at least we relegate you where you can't play football on TV? You want to huddle by the radio? You want to listen on the app? You want to let the minds, you know, creative eye take over as you piece together the sounds from Bob Wischusen, who's amazing? Go for it. Be my guest. That's fine. But who wants to watch this? I mean, it is absolutely heinous, man. And think about the mistakes that Denver made. Touchdown, turnover on the opening drive. They gave up a 72-yard kickoff return, which, of course, the Jets couldn't do anything with in terms of the touchdown. But they still, you know, they got gashed there. They had a fake punt conversion go against them. They had holding in the end zone for a safety, and they still win the game. It's gross. The play calls, it's so evident. They are screaming, we've got no faith in Fields. We got none. His throws are always late. He always holds on. Like, let me just see if you can see this, right? I mean, I know you'll be able to see, but let me just show you. Do I have a marker here? Yeah. All right, so this will be a little bit better. So here, schematics. You guys see this? All right, schematics 101, right? So if you got a wide receiver here, and he's running a route here, boom, and it's an out cut, right? And you're the quarterback here, right? Whether you roll out a little right, or you do a little 3-5-step drop, whatever it is, right? You don't throw the ball when he's here. You don't do that. What you do is it's called anticipation, right? He gets to the top of the route, and as soon as he puts his foot in the ground, you know where he's going to go. And just as he begins to cut, guess what? Right when he's about here, bang. There's where you whistle the football so that when he gets there, he turns and it's on him. Not Justin Fields, not the New York Jets. It is basic, basic shit. You know, if the Jets would have won today, and let me make up some preposterous possibility where the Jets can mess around for a wild card. No, that's not what I'm doing here. Obviously, I'm not an idiot. Although I thought maybe they could do that at the beginning of the season, so maybe I am actually an idiot. But if they would have won today, they've got Carolina coming up. Then you got the Bengals without Joe Burrow. And again, it's not about stretching wins together to be in position to win, you know, nine or 10 games and be a wild card team. It's about a culture. It's about just throwing a few bricks out there and slowly, incrementally building at least the foundation of a winning home. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I never thought that I would do this. For some reason, we years ago, my wife, and I'm happy we did it now, but in hindsight, in real time, I'm like, there's no way I could do this. I don't know anything about building a home. So we had we had two children. They were young. We had to move out of our apartment. We outgrew it. Obviously, it's time to go to the suburbs and find a place to raise the family, right? So we're looking all over New Jersey, all over. Looked at some beautiful homes. Couldn't settle, on anything. And I'm at the Super Bowl. And was that Atlanta? I forget which one. And my wife calls me up. She said, hey, there's this big piece of land where we are now. And they're building some homes there. Let's investigate. I'm like, build a home? Now, I've done demo construction during college jobs. I had no problem rolling up my sleeves. Like, you know, I painted my kid's nursery. You know, I got no problem going out there and, you know, cleaning my fence or, again, getting my hands dirty, like cleaning the garage and painting the garage. Build a home. Like, from the ground up, build a home? I have no idea. So she won that, and she was actually right. But the point is, as you build the home, first you got to level the land, then you got to pour the concrete, then you've got to have the foundation, and then the walls, the wood, you know, and then, of course, you know, here's the sheetrock, and then eventually you have the shell of a home. And then as you get deeper and deeper and deeper into it, you know, now it becomes a little bit more fun from our perspective, like, all right, let's pick the tile. What are we doing for the basement? Which, spoiler alert, was always going to be the man cave, which it is. A little poker room down there as well. What are we doing for the splash tile? What are we doing for the island, for the kitchen? What are we doing for the kids' rooms here? What are we doing for the conference ceiling? Like, before you can get to the nice stuff, you got to at least have a fucking wall. A wall. Four stable walls, you know? to support the rest of the nice stuff. So I say all this because today, if they would have won, they would have had a wall up, at least one. You're not the butt of everybody's joke. And it's not like they would have beat a bad team. Now, it's funny, Sal and I talk about this on our show on The Fan. And to his credit, although, you know, I don't know, maybe it was overstated, but looking at the way Denver looked today, you know, he was on Denver for a while. He really liked Denver. And I'm like, yeah, I know they got Peyton. I know Bo Nix was interesting a year ago. I know they could run it. I know they got deep. So they're a good team. It's like they would have beaten some, you know, team comparable to the Jets, right? It would have been a wall. And then guess what? You know, if you find a way, even if it's ugly, if you find a way to beat Carolina, that's another wall. You know what I mean? And before you know it, maybe by the end of the season, you actually have four walls. And then, you know, at least maybe you could put the roof on. And then during the offseason, during the draft, during free agent, player development, well, now you start to sprinkle on some of the nicer stuff. Again, the like the tile. Are we doing wood? Wood floors? Are we doing tile? Whatever we're doing. If that's how you build a foundation of a home. So, you know, they can't win. They can't win. And, you know, this is just, it is what it is, man. It really is. Let me see if anything else jumped out from some of these notes real quick here. And then I'll get some of these messages. Wow. All right. Let's see. Fields eyes up. I just got to see. I got to make some sense of this quick stuff here. New York with only three penalties. All right. Oh, hold on. No, that was the previous game. What am I doing? That was definitely the previous game. I'm an idiot. This team makes me sideways here. All right, Denver. You're talking about field goals early on. First four possessions, 1 yard. Listen, you saw all this stuff here. The fake, but it's a whole first down. I appreciate it because that is at least the attempt to establish, I'm going to use the word culture again. Like, you know, there's the bigger picture, of course, is wins, right? But within the game, you've got to create this little subtext, this thread of communicating to your young team, your vulnerable team, a team in the New York market, that now that the Yankees are gone, all right, and the Mets have been gone for a while, now that the Giants have some positivity, like we're not, you know, all right, the Rangers played a couple of games, whatever, nobody really cares yet. You know, big Knicks town, I care, but the Knicks still a little bit of ways. And even, you know, early NBA, it's not going to be crazy coverage, though we'll do it. But, you know, it's there's nowhere to hide is what I'm saying. Like, there's nowhere to deflect this stuff here. So what you try to do, try to go for it in an unconventional spot there, you're trying to empower your team. And, you know, if you get it, which they did, and you could score a touchdown, which they didn't, well, if you could do that and then you could win – you know, those are the little seeds that you plant. I talk about building the home. The next thing you have to do, and we did this as well, I mean, you got to get some grass. Now, we actually put down sod, but if you don't want to have sprinklers and do that, you know, you got to get some soil. You got to sprinkle those little grass seeds. You got to water it. And before you know it, you look up, got some grass. So aesthetically, the backyard begins to look better, and it just flows with the home. It's these little teeny tiny checkpoints of creating belief and stability and culture. And, you know, it's hard to still, and Glenn's going to do it. I have no doubt that AG is going to keep fighting. He's a dog. You know, he might be overwhelmed with this year, but I do believe at his core, he is an absolute dog. And I'm not going to abandon Aaron. Did they possibly hire the wrong person? It's possible. I mean, it's a big job. I thought the Jet play calling with Engstrand, which was very interesting early in the year, has gone to shit. I mean, even Kurt Warner's like, hey, you might want to pass here. Hey, maybe the Jets throw twice in a row. And like, it was so benign and it was so predictable that it's just like, come on, man. And I know that they've got one receiver and one good one in Garrett. I know you're going to bracket him. You're going to put a great corner on him anyway in Sertan, who's great. I wish that could be Sauce. And even if you have to in certain spots, you roll the other defender his way. So, and then who else is going to beat you? You know, Josh Reynolds is a guy. The other receivers, I don't even know who they are still. I mean, it's the middle of October. I don't even know if I can name every freaking wide receiver on the Jets. Think about that. Think about that. Wow. So, there's really not much more to go over from this game because there's just not much to talk about. They are winless. You know, I'm not, and I guess I've maybe used the word hopeless in the past. I try to avoid that because, I mean, if there is no hope, then what are we doing here? Why am I wasting my time? Why are all of you, you loyal, awesome, phenomenal, unkillable fans and fans of what I do, which I truly appreciate, whether it's here, whether it's on the fan, whether it's on social, I'm not going to abandon that. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to jump ship, you know? So I'm going to find things to talk about. You know, and the things today, if I really just, you know, button this up here and boil it down, you have a quarterback who can't throw. He just can't make that anticipatory throw. He can't, you know. It's funny. My son had a game yesterday. He played well. His teammates, he and his teammates did a good job. They won. And they throw the ball a little bit. You know, it's 10, it's 5th and 6. He's a fifth grader. He's the quarterback. And, you know, I tell him, you know, made some good throws. One time he held it too late. You know, he's 10. He's 10, though. You know, when you're 10 and, you know, there's some bigger, older, you know, kids running after you, you know, you're going to throw the ball probably, you know, maybe a little bit earlier than you should or a little bit later, whatever. That's part of the progression of being a quarterback. When you're Justin Fields and you played at Ohio State and you were a top 10 pick, or maybe he was 11. I don't even know what number he was drafted. Maybe he was 11. And you were, but still a premium draft pick. And you've been, you know, with multiple teams, one shit franchise in the Bears and one really good franchise with the Steelers. Like, you can't come here in your mid-20s with a bunch of starts under your belt and still waiting until the guy is open to throw the football. You'll never be good. You'll be a backup, you know, or you'll be a starter on a winless team or team that's, you know, 5-12 when it's all said and done. Like, these are things you got to know by now. And if it hasn't been instilled by now, it will never be instilled in Justin Fields. So, you know, listen, he's a good teammate, and I think he's tough, and I think he's good for morale, and I know he's a worker. So I don't think there's any negative traits that are going to derail, like, emotionally, what Aaron Glenn and culturally what Aaron's trying to do here. So it's not like I'm looking to kick the young man to the curb here, but here's the bottom line: finances, all right? And it's a financially – what have you done for me today? And it's a financially driven league based on the punitive nature of salary cap implications, right? So they signed him, and I was fine with the signing, kicked the tires. But, you know, I thought it was fine what Mucci did. $20 million this year, which is fine for a starter. It's cheap. And $20 million next year, only 10 of which is guaranteed. So there's a nominal commitment next season. But we know you're gonna have to find a quarterback. And I watched the Oregon Indiana game yesterday, and I know some other quarterbacks. You know, I tweet about this stuff, so you definitely want to follow me on social media, because that's a game that I told you was a Jet fan to dial into. It was a 3:30 kick. I don't watch much college football anymore, because it's bad enough I got to do it with this team. I am not sitting on my couch all day with a 9 and a 10-year-old and a wife and good weather, although it's pretty shitty today and yesterday here in the Northeast, with things to do and soccer games and, you know, beautiful fall weather to enjoy for the most part. Not doing it, you know. I'll tape games. I'll follow mock drafts. But yesterday was one because the games were early and my daughter had a bye with soccer where I'm like, I'm watching this game. And, you know, Moore for Oregon was not good. That's a great win by Indiana. Mendoza looked much better, in control. A little game manager-ish for me. I didn't see any incredibly dynamic qualities, but still interesting enough where, you know, maybe if the Jets were to trade down or what, I don't know. It's a little bit too early for that. But, and I'm not even saying that Moore's completely off the table. I do think he's a talented young man, but Indiana's defense is really good, and it has been really good for a couple of years now. But that's where we're at, man. I mean, it's the middle of October. Season's over. We know that. And, of course, you know, with the Jets' luck, and they'll be there maybe with the Browns. I got to look at the standings again. You know, maybe the Panthers, you know, some other. Actually, let me just look at my phone real quick here so I have all the teams. I know I'm ignoring some basic stuff. What's going to be interesting for the Jets here, guys, is that, you know, wherever, and they'll be drafting top 3, top 4. Could be first overall, obviously. But wherever the Jets draft, you know, you've got to be lucky. I'm just looking at this 0-6, the updated standings. Good God. All right. So number one, you'd love to have a great quarterback like a Luck or a Peyton. Of course, our luck is never that much. So that's not the case. There is no surefire first overall pick. There's no John Elway. That'll mean they're not going to be a superstar, but there's no consensus first overall pick, nor will there will be. I don't think there will be, even by the time we get deep into the draft process. This is very much going to be subjective. Two or three guys, there's going to be some trades, whatever. All right, so who's going to be in the market for a quarterback? Let me just jot down some. Then I want to look at some of these messages here, right? All right, so obviously the Jets, the Browns, depending upon, you know, when Sanders gets in there, what he looks like. Browns could be in play, even though they're 1-4. Now, the Titans, and I think the Titans really are the worst team in the NFL, even though they've got a win. The Jets are going to get a run for their money there. But they just drafted Cam Ward. So even if they finish 1-15 or 1-16, they're not taking a quarterback. The Raiders are 1-4. That's been an alarmingly weird season so far for Pete Carroll. Conceivably, they could go quarter. So those are the main ones there. Two or three teams. In the NFC, Giants got their guy. Bears just drafted their guy. Panthers, number one, already have two wins. So definitely Saints, you would think, would be – well, yeah, Saints. And that's – those are the four or five teams. So there's still a lot to sort through. Like, it could be a situation – now, of course, they'd have to be incredibly lucky, and more than that, they'd have to be very astute. And let's face it, how often do we use that word to describe the Jets with anything? But they'd have to read the board perfect. Like, say if the Jets do finish with the first overall pick and they don't love the quarterback option at one. Maybe they've got three or four guys or two or three players that are kind of like right in that same stratosphere. No home run, couple of doubles, maybe a triple, not enough to say, boom, absolutely, that's our guy. Well, but maybe another team views one of the players that the Jets are only 85% in on, if you follow me, rather than 100. Well, maybe the Jets could scoot down to 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever it is, and you acquire more draft capital, and they can still get somebody, maybe somebody that they like just as much or even slightly more than the team that they trade with, who takes whomever it wants. So there are legitimate possibilities to get better. But, like, just, you know, looking at the Jets here, I mean, it is so basic. You need. Now, I think Mason Taylor is going to be good. Didn't see him at all today. That was disappointing. But I think they've got their tight end of the future. Maybe they trade Breece, and maybe that. Listen, they may trade him this year. We know Allen's out for a while, probably the whole season.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I'd like to see a little bit more from Isaiah Davis. You know, everybody says Jets had going in like three really good running backs. All right, they might, but I'd like to see Isaiah Davis do something to validate that. I'm not saying he doesn't have any talent, but I want to see a couple of good games from this kid before I think that he's viable maybe as some. So they absolutely need a second stud receiver. And we know Garrett's game. You can throw him in the slot. He can beat you outside. He's incredibly gifted. He's a great – I don't use this word. I don't throw the word great around recklessly. Garrett Wilson's great because he's already been great with shit around him, absolute shit. Shit coaching, shit scheming, shit O-line play for the most part up until this year, though the pass protection last couple of weeks has been awful, and shit quarterback play, all right, to be very blunt with you. And he's still a stud. Garrett Wilson's stud, right? You got to get – but we know his profile physically. So you've got to get a big – you know, whether it's a rangy 6'3 blur or, you know, a 6'4 thicker who can beat you on the outside, jump balls in the back of the end zone, fade routes, like things like that. They don't have anybody like that, not even close. So they got to get a stud wide receiver opposite him. You're going to have to get one more O-lineman. You're going to have to get at least two pieces in the secondary. I mean, that's the starting point. That's where you really start.
When it comes to what your family eats and drinks, you know your choices matter. You're the expert because you know what fits your life. And getting it right starts with good information. That's why America's beverage companies are sharing more information about our ingredients at goodtoknowfacts.org. No spin, no judgments, just the facts straight from the experts for more than 140 beverage ingredients. Visit goodtoknowfacts.org.
This episode is brought to you by Marshalls, where you never have to compromise between quality and price. The buyers of Marshalls hustle hard, working to bring you great deals on brand name and designer pieces. Because Marshalls believes everyone deserves access to the good stuff. Visit a Marshalls store near you or shop online at marshalls.com.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
So good, so good, so good.
Just in, thousands of winter arrivals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 70% on coats, slippers, and cashmere from Kate Spade, New York, Vince, UGG, Levi's, and more.
Check out these boots.
They've got the best gifts.
My holiday shopping hack? Join the Nordy Club.
Get an extra 5% off every Rack purchase with your Nordstrom credit card. Plus, buy it online and pick it up in-store the same day for free. Big gifts, big perks. That's why you Rack.
So let me get my guy Evan in here. Let's see if they break him. Is he alive? Is he awake? Is he drunk? What's he doing? How's Evan doing? Hey, there he is. Hold on, buddy. Another fun day in Jetsville, huh?
Yeah, no, it never ends. I was actually scrolling Twitter at the end, and somebody's like, man, this might be the first time that the Jets, or like one of many times the Jets say, man, the Jets won this despite this. And then somebody's like, well, they didn't even win it because they stink and they can't even kick it. They were like, nah, we're not going to kick a field goal. Let's just take the
S. Oh, man. You know, it's funny, too, because you see their corner, right, Surtain, and then you see our corner. And that was close, the one play where Garrett fumbled. Remember they reviewed it?
Yeah.
And they determined that it was jarred loose before he made that third step, which obviously is the football move. So they got it right. It was close. I mean, it was a half a tick away from going against the Jets. But you ever see Sauce do anything like that? Even though it didn't go to Denver, you just don't see him do anything like that. It's absolute maddening. And I'm not just going to, you know, gratuitously shit on Sauce every week. But, you know, here we are, six games. It, you know, before you know, it's going to be November. Not one impact play. Jets have forced one turnover. So thank God the number's no longer zero. Yeah. And it wasn't even by Sauce Gardner. No picks, no, you know, no strip sacks. It just, DJ, man, oh man. It's a rough watch, buddy. It is a rough watch.
Getting into halftime, that 2-minute sequence made absolutely no sense.
What were they doing?
I don't know. And then they're like, oh, let's just run down. We just faked a punt to try to maybe drive down the field and make something out of it. And then they had like 20 seconds left. And Garrett Wilson's yelling to Aaron Glenn. He's like, dude, what the hell is going on?
I know. Now, I think some people will make the Wilson, you know, and you didn't really see Aaron Glenn say much. It was like his back. It was more side view of Garrett and the back of Aaron. Of Garrett Wilson, and the back of Aaron Glenn. So you could see Wilson doing more of the talking. And I think some people are going to make that more than it really is. I got no problem with that. I actually want a guy like that who has the respect and the latitude, quite frankly, and the juice to go up and say, what are we doing? Now, preferably, maybe publicly, if it gets really hot, do it behind closed doors or on the practice field when there's no media. I have no problem with that. And I actually think that Aaron Glenn wants that because you saw Aaron put his arm around. Like, I think he invites that. You know, he played with Keyshawn. Think about this. This is before your time. He played with Keyshawn, who was always chirping. So he played with some, I mean, Keyshawn, if he can get 11 targets, it wasn't enough. He needed 15, you know. But it was I don't have an issue with that. I have an issue when guys don't care. So I will never get on somebody like that. It really just is disheartening is not even the right word. I don't, you know, I guess what's alarming to me, here's the book on the Jets, right? Yeah. And we all thought, from stopping their offense, we all thought that they would run the ball well, and they do. And they ran it much more effectively earlier in the year, and teams were willing to let them run. Here's what's changing. I don't want to say they gave them, you know, 7 yards every play, but they didn't mind as much because they knew that Justin Fields couldn't hurt him, and he's yet to do anything to change that opinion. They know it. 3rd and 5, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 8, one read, lock in, late with the ball, hold it for 3.2 seconds. So if we know it, they know it, all right? Yeah. But the other thing that's happened as well up until today, because the Jets' defense has been so porous that other teams are of the mindset that there's no way the Jets are going to be able to score, you know, 27, I don't mean, you know, I'm not saying the occasional, 30, 34, 35, 40 points, because they never throw the ball and they don't have any of those big pops. Yeah. But they're so run reliant that the opposing teams, even with success running the ball, knows that they'll still be able to score enough points on the Jets defense.
Yeah, no, it's just, and it's crazy because every one of these games you're like, there's like, I mean, and granted, obviously we've gone over how that kind of sucks the life out of you to the point where you're just like, you know, they win, they lose. But there's so many of these games where you're coming toward the end and you're like, oh man, I mean, I guess they could probably squeak this one out. And then just somehow, it was like Breece Hall said the other week. He's like, other teams shoot themselves in the foot, and then we come back and shoot ourselves in the head. That might have been the best quote of all time because it's so true. It's insane. Oh,
talk about you're right. Talk about a bleak assessment there. They were pretty good with the penalties today, but I hear you. All right, so this I want to read this one here. Yeah. This is Rob from downtown. If you don't watch college football, and really I say I don't watch as much as I used to when I would just, you know, bet all these games when I was young and, you know, had zero comeback from playing golf and basically watch all day and all night. Bet the Pac-12 back then, you know, it just go nuts. Yeah. No, but Rob says, if you don't watch college, you don't know who's good or not. And then when the draft comes around, everybody says, I don't know about the kid. Well, it's the same dumb crap. I actually understand why you would say that, Rob, but I didn't say I don't do my homework on assessing quarterbacks. You have to understand, which I do. And I'm already deeper into the mocks than most people that you will listen to on local radio in New York. Like I'm not saying I'm, you know, Mel Kiper or, you know, that deeply into, but I am deeper into now I'm talking about already. I know what positions kind of are viewed to be strong, which are ones that are viewed to be weak. I'm not saying I don't do the homework there or even watch footage of quarterbacks, but to sit there and watch the games from a time perspective, I don't really have that much time. But also you don't really glean that much from watching these systems because a lot of it's RPO driven. And there's a lot of gash plays where in college you're throwing to a space. You're literally throwing to an open space. That's why Tim Tebow was amazing. This big versus the NFL where it's now a keyhole. And that's where you've got to anticipate like Justin Fields can't. So when you're watching Justin Fields back in the day with the Buckeyes, you're like, man, oh man, this guy, woof, here we go. You know, he's going to be a runner. He's going to throw the ball prolifically. Does he? No. They had better talent. They had better coaching. They had better schemes. And their outside guys won one-on-one. Their offensive linemen, many of which were in the NFL, had great pass protection. Justin had all day. Amazing athlete. Holes everywhere. Take your pick. Do you want to run for 30 yards, throw it for 50 yards to whomever? So that's why I don't get too wrapped up in the footage, like actually watching games of quarterbacks, because it doesn't, it lies to you. I was going to say it doesn't tell you much. It actually does. It tells you almost the opposite. And then you start to convince yourself based on stats and score that this guy's better than he is for Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And it's also like a crazy thing because you go into the year and coming into this year, Lenore Sellers was a big one. Cade Klubnik was a big one. And then now you got completely different guys. Dante Moore kind of comes out of nowhere with Dylan Gabriel leaving. Yep. Fernando Mendoza was kind of a nobody on Cal, goes to Indiana as a stud. Yep. So it's kind of like guys coming out of the blue.
Yeah, and that's why I really did watch that game yesterday, because Mendoza played against Dante Moore. Great venue out there in Oregon. It was just a night. It was a little chilly, a little overcast, a couple of really great coaches, two top 10 teams, a lot of good defenders. So, no, I definitely did. I jumped into that. Let me see. NY Native writes here, can we bench Fields? He can't read defenses to save his life. He hasn't improved, which he hasn't. That's true. Put Cook in. See what you have with him. Maybe he might be the future. You know, I'm not there yet. I'm not, but I'm fine with that at some point here. You know, I mean, why wouldn't you? Cook looked pretty good in the preseason. You and I talked about him a little bit. And, you know, his college team, I did watch him in college a little bit. I don't know. I just, you can't do it yet, because I think that that's maybe spending or sending the wrong message. Even though Fields is not good, it's not his fault that they're not winning. And to me, it's almost too punitive of a penalty. No, but there becomes a point where I want to see what some other answers might be. Let's see. Fields reminds me of Zach Wilson. Yeah, I don't know. I think Zach got rid of the ball quicker. I think Zach had a better arm. I think Zach was probably better. Yeah. Let's see. What's this? That's funny. BT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like a teen who is writing fluff to finish a paper. He literally has nothing important to say anymore about this 0-6 team. Well, I think I gave you a little bit more than Mo. I mean, listen, I could get on here and be comical and yell and scream like Beningo, and this sucks and that sucks. I mean, I try to give you a little bit more about Fields holding on to the ball and about some of the college players and about, you know, some of the other stuff. But man, oh man, let's see.
Yeah, there was one prior that was like, because they must have just tuned in when you were talking about building the house and gardening. And there was somebody that was like, Gardener BT is probably my favorite BT.
I love it. Yeah. I always joke with Sal about this. Like, you got to remember where I grew up, I just didn't have a big backyard. Like, so in Brooklyn, each home was like here, right on top of each other.
Yeah.
And you had these little driveways where we would do home run derby. I happen to have a little basket, like a rim that you could adjust. So we would do dunking contests. But there was a little slab of concrete, and that's why you couldn't take jump shots, and we would just beat the shit out of each other. You had to go to the rim, which sucked for me because I would always play with the same three guys, two of whom played college basketball. So I was by far the worst, and I was okay. I mean, I wasn't terrible, but these guys were good. So I would get my ass kicked in my own yard. The point is that I didn't have a big backyard. So when we moved here, you know, I planted, I had somebody do the sod, obviously, and then we put these arborvitaes in. If anybody knows what an arborvitae is, I'm not sure if you do. It's like a Northeast, although it could grow in other areas, I'm sure. It's like the most resilient tree that you could plant because it doesn't need a ton of water, doesn't need a lot of sun, and it grows depending upon, you know, the soil. And then some other elements, it could grow up to, you know, 2 to 3 feet in a year. So I planted these little puppies at 6 feet. And about 4 years ago, they're up to 30 feet. So they're my pride. They're my pride and joy. So that's right. I talk about them, Sal Lentz. I'm like, I just go out there. Sometimes I'll look at them. I'm like, I'll water them. I'll put the Yankee game on, you know, so I'll put it through the speakers in the yard during the summer, maybe get a beer. Sure as hell don't have any Jet stuff to look forward to. So it's basically the Yankees, and it's which didn't end well, and my arborvitaes.
There you go.
Oh, God. All right, man. Maybe I didn't say enough for you guys, but at this point, I don't feel as if I have a whole lot more to say right now. I mean, 0-6, winless. Actually, let me just check a few of the other scores to see if anything jumps out here. Let's see. NFL scores, otherwise known as real football. All right. 3-0 Ravens, 3-0 Panthers, Colts over the Cardinals. Yeah, one thing about the Cardinals, right? I'll get back to that in a second. Hold on. 0-0, 3-0 Chargers, Dolphins stink. Steelers, 3-0 over the Browns. Patriots with a quick touchdown. Drake May's good. In New Orleans, 7-3. Did he score? What's his stat line? Drake May, yeah. 2-for-2 with a touchdown. Man, that must be so nice. I mean, they get their coach. They get their quarterback. The Giants, I don't know if they have the coach, although, you know, I mean, if Jackson Dart continues to look like this, then Dable's going to be back. And at that point, I would say rightfully so. Instead, you know, the Jets right now have somebody who's winless and a quarterback who's now on his 13, you know. Oh, the Cardinals point. Remember last week, those ridiculous occurrences in the Cardinals game, like just dropping the ball before the goal line, all that stuff, and the coach went nuts. Is it Gannon? I think it's Gannon. And came over and he like grabbed the guy and he just kind of cursed him out, lit him up. Did you see, at least we're not this bad, because this would be, I would rather have no wins and be the Jets than be the Cardinals right there. Because the Cardinals to me have zero hope based on what they did. So their coach, and again, it was aggressive, but I thought it was with merit. It was such a rudimentary breakdown by a professional mentally in terms of being locked in and knowing the situation, a mental mistake that he deserved to get lit up, right? Anyway, long story short, he grabs him, he curses, and then like 2 days later, early in the week, the Cardinals find the coach, not the player, the coach, for being too aggressive, $100,000. And then the poor guy has to stand and look into a camera and basically own it and apologize. So there is nothing that he can say the rest of the year with any sort of oomph that's going to be taken seriously. They just took the cleats off his shoes. So at least the Jets are still letting Aaron coach. I guess it could be worse, right? All right, guys, enjoy real football today. You know, watching real teams and real offenses and real quarterbacks and real plans and real coaches and, you know, real fan bases in real stadiums here. Enjoy all that. Enjoy your bets. You know, enjoy fantasy. And 0-6, my God almighty. Guys, have a good Sunday. I will catch you on the Fan 10 o'clock tomorrow with Sal. And I will catch you maybe if something happens during the – I'm not even going to promise it. Maybe if something happens during the week, interesting, a press conference, whatever, some change, then I'll obviously jump in. Otherwise, I'll catch you after the next loss, which I'm sure will be next week. Enjoy your Sunday. Spread the word, Spotify, Apple. And I did say this earlier, and I do mean it. I appreciate you guys rolling with me. It means a lot. I appreciate it. You guys know how much I love this stuff, how much I respect that you guys have my back and follow me. So can you continue to do so on social, on the Fan, on here. Spread the word and have a great Sunday, guys. I'll see you.
Everything feels a bit uncertain right now. A few months ago, you never would have expected eggs being factored into your monthly budget. New sources of stress equal more opportunities for breakouts to strike. Luckily, Mighty Patch Original shrinks the look of pimples in just one use. We'd say that's a pretty good deal. Shop Mighty Patch at all major retailers.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.